Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to use this time. We ask you to glorify your name through these words. Lord God, may we as dry bones hear these words and find out for ourselves, Lord, a picture of what we really are. That through your word, you may bring to light what it is that we have done, where we need to be. Take us there, Lord, in these words. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in the Old Testament from Ezekiel chapter 37, especially verse 14 this morning. So we want to kind of get into some things this morning. Maybe you have this, and maybe you don't. When you move, you don't have this problem as much. When you're in the same place for a long period of time, you probably have this small amount of trouble. And so if I went throughout your household, and trust me, when I come to your door, it's not because I want to check over your entire belongings. But I'm just really wondering, when we talk about things, have you ever gotten anything? Have you ever gotten anything and simply not used it? All right, so I'm just looking around. I had a hard time with this simply because when you're trying to move across the country from one country to a smaller state, you have to downsize a little bit. And so coming across the country, we had to get rid of a lot of stuff. But one of the things I did or was able to keep, one of my roommates from college was Korean. And he went and got me this. It's a set of chopsticks because when you're with Koreans, you don't eat with a fork. You eat with chopsticks. And if you don't eat fast, you don't eat. So as an American, I learned to eat really fast with chopsticks. And so I've always kept these. I've always wanted to use these. But you know what? The timing is never right. You always, like, you know, I want to keep them for something, and you just keep putting them back. So my roommate went back for the wedding of his brother, and he brought me back these. And they're amazing gifts. So amazing, I've never used them. All right? And then right before we got married, my wife got me this. It's a model of my favorite airplane in all the world. When I was in junior high, my dad took me out to Nebraska, where there's nothing, right? There's something called the Strategic Air Command, and I got to stand right next to one of these planes, and my mom took a picture of me next to the wheel, and I was not even taller than the wheel of this airplane, and I've always wanted a model, and so my wife bought me this while we're still dating. The wrapper is still on it. She's like, you know, if you like it so much, why don't you put it together? And I said, well, you know, when you're a pastor, you kind of move a lot, and this has propellers, and I know where it would go after the next time we make a sweep of everything. You know, it's still my favorite model. I just haven't taken the wrapper off. And then there's something else. I went to my wife right before this, and I said, you know, think of all the wedding gifts that we got. Do y'all have any wedding gifts that are still in the box? And most of the wives are kind of like looking down as I look in your faces, so I know which one of you are guilty of this. The guys are like, I have no clue what you're talking about. You know, modern day, you're about to get married, and you go to Target, and they give you the little price gun, and who gets the price gun? Okay, he may get the gun, but you go online and erase everything that he chose. I know how it works. I remember everything that I chose got erased. Where is this? It never got put on the list. How convenient, because, you know, you always wonder what's practical and what's not practical. And then we got this, it came in a box like this. It was a backpack, and in the backpack, you unzipped it, and you had everything that you need for a cute little picnic. The plates, the nice glasses, because when you're dating, your relationship is nice and cute, and then you get married, and then you get a job, and then your time goes out the window, and all of a sudden, the box still is in the box. And so before we came here, we actually gave it away. We'd never been used. And so there's a couple of things that we took out and we said, you know what? Never use this. I can tell you how long to the second that we've been married and how long that gift has been in the box. And so it's been unused. And so this morning I'm kind of looking at what is written for us in our lessons for today. And if you would take out into the Old Testament reading, we're going to be talking about something this morning. And the thing about Scripture that is beautiful is that God writes about the right now and the future to come. And he writes about it in the same, using the same words. And so we get different pictures, and you can read it and like, oh, that means this. You can read it again, like, wow, that also means something else. It's amazing to look at. So we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3, all right? And he said to me, son of man... Let's read this together. Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. So when we look at this, what is the Lord talking about? And so what we see here is that God is bringing him in a vision into a valley of dry bones. Okay, valley of dry bones. All right, this is an open graveyard where bones are just laying around, just dry. All right, think desert-ish. All right, just old bones. And so God says, okay, what are you thinking about these bones? What are you thinking about? Are these bones done? And so what he's saying is the right here, the right now, in the context of what's going on in Ezekiel's life, in the Old Testament, the Jews at this point were not living in Israel. They were scattered into other countries. You see, what had happened is Israel lost its true meaning. Its true meaning was to glorify God in everything. What they did is they ran off after everything else but God. Everything else. They forgot God, went off. And God said, I'm trying to get your attention. And finally he said, okay, you want to go off in your own way? He brought in the Assyrians, took the top 10 tribes, and then the Babylonians came in later and took the other two tribes, took them away, put them in a different country, and said, fine, if you don't want to acknowledge me as God, here you go. Here's what you really wanted, to go after your own thing. And so the people of Israel were living in a place that was not called by their own. And so they're bewildered. What's next? What else can happen? And so Ezekiel in here is receiving this vision. God is saying, these bones are like Israel. These bones are like Israel, lifeless. The nation of Israel is no longer. The nation of Israel is no longer. My people are gone. They no longer live where I put them. And so he's saying to Ezekiel, this is the state of my people. They're dead. They're gone. And so what we see here is that he was calling them to something different. He was calling them to something different. And so what we see here is this, is we read on. As we read on, look at what happens. So I prophesied in verse 7 as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there was sinews on them, and flesh had come on them, and skin had come on them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So what does this mean? God is saying, even though the nation of Israel is dead, gone, lifeless, God is saying, I'm trying to point you to something even greater. At one time, you thought, okay, life is good. And now you're at a low of the lows, and God is saying, that's not your future. Your future is back in Israel, and the Lord God declares to you that what I am saying right now, you can believe. My breath is what's important, and so I'm breathing into you the word of God that I'm going to take you back to Israel, and I'm going to plant in you something that will carry on for eternity. That when you become alive again, my breath, the word of God, will stand forever. So what is it that he's trying to point out? Well, he's trying to point out, I believe, one thing. Look at this. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore, I prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God. There's the important thing. You may think that all the hope is gone, but Jesus coming to Ezekiel says, your hope is not lost. Therefore, carry my word to my people saying, your hope is not lost. Your hope is that God said from the very beginning, there will be a Messiah. That I will come to you. I will be in your midst. Therefore, the word of God, he's trying to pinpoint them. The word of God will come to you. And Jesus is saying to Ezekiel here, I'm coming. I'm coming. The Messiah is coming. Your redemption is still at hand. And so when we take a look at things, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. He will take them out of their land of modern-day Iraq, and I will put you back into Israel, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. Look at verse 14. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And you will know, and you will place in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Did you see? The present and the future. I will put you back into Israel, and to give you a further assurance of hope, I'm going to come to you personally. When God says, I will do it, I will do it, I will do it, he's placing his mercy into what he is doing. You can trust me, because it's not coming from a man, it's coming from God. God's word is coming to you. So he's trying to point Ezekiel back to a restoration. And so what we see here is in our gospel reading, we see in the Holy Gospel, we see that Jesus is saying in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Day. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And so why do we want to talk about things that are still in the wrapper? Because I want to embarrass myself? Church, are we still in the wrapper? Is there things in our lives that we still need to take out of the box? Can we honestly say as a church that we have used all of his gifts? Or do we want to say, you know what, I don't know how. I don't know what gifts I have. I don't know how I can be used to further the kingdom of God. That's an honest answer. That's an honest answer, and it's very honest. Sometimes you're just wondering, God, how do you want me to be used? And sometimes the question is, Lord God, where do I even go? But the question is not that. Is I believe it was Julie Andrews that said one thing. I believe she said, where God closes a door, he opens a window. Meaning that what we think we should be doing, God closing the door, he has all these other things that are open to us. All these opportunities. And every day I go through these situations. Some of them I understand. Being at the restaurant and God just opening up a door, someone just sitting next to me and saying, I don't understand this Jesus thing. How do you explain this? That was all a God thing. That wasn't anything I did. And so it's interesting of just where you sit, where you eat, that God opens up these doors and saying, okay, here's an opportunity. Question is, where is God opening up that opportunity for you today? By the end of today, isn't God saying, look back. Everything that has happened today, I have orchestrated. I have orchestrated. And I think I mess up more than I really want to admit. And I look back and I'm like, man, I just totally blew it with that lady. Or, you know what, I probably was going a little bit over the speed limit right there, and, you know, one of you probably saw me. Which you won't really see too much of me, hopefully, right? Because y'all have been passing me, right? But I look and say, okay, that's a dry bone way of looking at things. And God is saying, that might be your present, but that's not your future. You may look at it as all your hope is lost, but God is still saying to us in this vision of Ezekiel, your hope is not lost. Your hope should be in Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world. And there is, whatever is going on, if you feel like you're in a different country, if you can't understand the language, if you understand where life is going, God is saying your hope is still found in the Messiah, and that's me. And so this morning as a church, we need to take off the wrapper. You guys in the first service, may I'll do it for the second service. We just need to take off the wrapper and say God has given you talents, and the church is simply saying you and you have multi-talented characteristics that if you guys just met and got out of your pews and not in the same spot every week, y'all, I'll keep preaching the same thing over and over just as long as you keep hearing me. But sometimes it is that when we sit in different spots, we meet different people, and we see that the Lord has been trying to get us to collaborate and say, what you have for the church, what you have for the church is the same thing. And if y'all would just meet and get out of there, you understand that the way that God has made you talented is exactly the same. And so what we can do together as a church is more than what we can do as an individual. And so he is taking, church, take yourself off the wrapper and open the box and see that the Holy Spirit is giving you opportunities each and every day. And so what we want to do as our vision statement, how are we going to make this happen? It's just coming back here and saying, you know what? You never imagine what the Lord has done for me in this last week. And we want to say, yeah, tell the story. Tell the story. That's our vision statement. talking about what Jesus has done for us and letting everybody else know that it is Jesus who changes lives. So this morning, we're going to take off the wrapper. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, it's been almost 2,000 years since that first great Pentecost day. And Lord God, we sometimes act, Lord God, as dry bones and think, you know what, I have nothing to give. Lord God, we can't. Lord God, you have sown into us so many different things, Lord. Lord God, we pray this morning that, Lord God, we see things differently. Give us your vision that, Lord God, you are with us. And so when we look at the world through your eyes, Lord God, you have given us so many different things. Lord God, even when we say we have nothing to share, we have trouble talking with the person even right next to us. Lord God, help us understand and help us see that, Lord God, you give us words to speak. Lord God, even the person across the aisle, a person across the counter taking our order, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity, Lord, to share with them the hope that we have. Lord God, even though our lives may not seem like they're going on a straight and narrow, Lord God, help us understand that you use our story to tell your story, to make you greater in our lives, to make your name glorified in this place. This is your kingdom, Lord. Help us take your name to the ends of the earth. In your son's name we pray. Amen. We continue.